Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to come together in worship and some words written by Moira Laidlaw. God of storms and rainbows, God of rain and sunshine, God of all creation, we worship and adore you. We gaze in wonder at the beauty of your creation and marvel at stormy skies transformed with the vibrant colours of a rainbow. Like Noah and his family, we praise you for this everlasting sign of your love and care, for the whole creation in your desire to preserve and not destroy life. And at Jesus' baptism, the sky again revealed your love when you identified him as your beloved son, strengthening him with the same spirit who empowers and strengthens each of us. For all these assurances of your love for us and for the whole creation, we praise and worship you, O God, in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord. Amen. And so, come, let us sing of this wonderful love, number 94. Let's come together in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you as we've just sung those words that we can come and sing of your wonderful love. We thank you because of that wonderful love is the whole reason that we come together as your church, that you hold each of us in that love. We thank you for Jesus, the one who shows us how to love you, how to love our neighbour. And we thank you, Lord, that as we come and hear more of your word, that we learn more and more about who you are, what you have done, and everything that you have planned for each one of us in so many different ways. We thank you for the glory of your creation as we opened up in prayer. We thank you that we can see you in everything, in the beauty of the wildlife, of the flowers, even in the storms and the rain, Lord. We thank you that we know so much more about you because you have given us your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to make us stronger in who we are, that we would stand firm on that word, stand firm on your love as we understand more and more. Lord, give us that enthusiasm, that desire to want to know you more. Lord, as we see and share and listen to people's stories, Lord, as they talk about what you've done in their lives, we see that inner strength and we just know, Lord, who it is that is in control of all things. Lord, so often in our world, we feel that so much is out of control. Often in our lives, Lord, we feel that we're not in control at all. And yet, Lord, we come with that reassurance of knowing that you are in charge of everything, that you do have the whole world in your hands. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you and you meet us just where we are. That when we have spoken wrongly or acted wrongly, that Lord, when we confess to you, that you open your arms in loving forgiveness. We thank you that we know through your holy word that all your promises are yes in Christ Jesus. We thank you that you are a living Lord, that you live amongst us still by the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you that Jesus prays for us, that the Holy Spirit gives us words when we don't know what to pray. Lord, we continue to pray for the situation in Israel and in Gaza. Lord, again, we can't see any end to that situation, any end to the hatred, to the war, Lord, that is taking families from families, is taking homes and community away. But yet, Lord, in the depths of that despair and that situation, we know, Lord, that you are working hard amongst those, Lord, who would seek peace, who would seek love for their neighbour. And we hear in the words, Lord, of those that are being interviewed, Lord, that they want that reconciliation, Lord, that they could live side by side with their neighbour. I pray, Lord, that you would make that so in your holy word, in your way, in your perfect timing. But, Lord, that we would never stop praying for that situation as we do with the situation in Ukraine. Lord, as the world seems to want to war with itself, we know that's not your way. Yours is the way of peace and the way of love. And so, Lord, I pray that we would seek to follow that way and share that way with all around. And Lord, I pray for our community, for those around us, Lord, that we would see them as you see them. At this time, Lord, and particularly as we now head towards Christmas, Lord, that the words of love and hope and peace and joy are not just the words that we would use at Christmas, Lord, but that they would be there for all the time. Lord, perhaps we will seek out people more this time of year. For those, Lord, who don't know the true meaning of Christmas, may we be the witness, Lord, and be able to share what we know of your love. Lord, may we know enough from your word to be able to share what you have done for each one of us. Lord, I think of our friends and family. And Lord, this morning I particularly bring to you Marjorie Barber. Lord, I thank you that she knows you. I thank you for the faithful witness that she is in her life to her family and friends. She now journeys onwards to her final destination to be with you. May she continue to know your peace and comfort. May her family know your peace and strength. We thank you for all the prayers of the faithful, giving her strength, and that she knows that you are with her. In her own words, that she is wrapped in love and prayer. We thank you, Lord, that only you can do that. And I continue to pray for them. And now I use some words, Lord, as a prayer for the world from Rabbi Kushner. Let the rain come and wash away the ancient grudges, the bitter hatreds, held and nurtured over generations. Let the rain wash away the memory of the hurt and the neglect. Then let the sun come out and fill the sky with rainbows. Let the warmth of the sun heal us whenever we are broken. Let it burn away the fog so that we can see each other clearly, so that we can see beyond labels, beyond accents, gender or skin colour. Let the warmth and brightness of the sun melt our selfishness so that we can share the joys and feel the sorrows of our neighbours. And let the light of the sun be so strong that we will see all people as our neighbours. Let the earth, nourished by rain, bring forth flowers to surround us with beauty. And let the mountains teach our hearts to reach upwards to heaven. Amen. Let's join together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So let's join together and sing number 142. Father, we love you.
Thank you.
beautiful, isn't it? As we come to our reading this morning, because of the continued evil and wickedness of humankind, I'm not talking today either, back in Genesis, we read that God caused rain to fall for 40 days and nights and flood the entire earth, killing everyone and everything except for, as we know, a man named Noah and his family and the animals that were kept safe inside of that wooden ark. After several months, as we read of interesting events, God's judgment, we read, was restrained and the rain stopped, resulting in a rainbow that appeared in the sky. You're starting to realize I've been banging on about rainbows a bit this morning. God's covenant promise symbolized by the rainbow. After the flood waters had receded and Noah could get out of the boat onto dry land, he built an altar and offered a burnt offering to God. In response, God declared the promise to Noah and his family, and we're going to hear that promise now. Thank you, Pauline.
I'm reading from the Church Bible, and it's on page 10. Genesis chapter 9, God's covenant with Noah. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful, increase in number, and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall on all the beasts of the earth and on all the birds in the sky, on every creature that moves along the ground, and on all the fish in the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. But you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it, and for your lifeblood I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal, from each human being too. I will demand an accounting for the life of another human being. Whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God, God has made mankind. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it." Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth, I will establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on earth." This is the word of God.
Bless you, thank you. So as we've just heard, God establishes a universal covenant with humanity and the animals and declares that he will make a sign of this covenant. He will set his bow in the clouds. God will cause the rainbow that appears in conjunction with a storm to remind him of this promise. Now, I have ordered a rainbow. It should be outside when you leave church. Not a storm this time. It serves as a genuine reminder of God's grace and mercy to the humanity. And the rainbow reminds us too of the gospel. It's a great news for us as well, because the story clearly and beautifully points to the time when God sent his own son, Jesus, to die on the cross and then raise him again to give humanity an amazing opportunity to escape judgment by, as we read in the words of the New Testament, by being hidden with Christ in God. And because of the gospel, we can respond to God's grace with faithful surrender and be saved. As we think of those words, as we have pictures now forming in our minds, let's sing number 515. O love that wilt not let me go. Let's pray. Father God, as we've just sung those beautiful words, I pray, Lord, that we would just come now, that we would open our hearts, our minds, that you would fill us, Lord, with knowledge of you, the beauty of all that you have created, the wonder of all that we would know more about you, your Son, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. I smiled to myself Friday night as I watched some of the children in need footage to see Zippy and Bungle, no, George, sorry, on Puppet MasterChef. Anyone else? Oh, I just don't know, you're like, what? Do you remember which program they were in? Yes. I was looking around earlier, I was thinking, okay, who's going to remember Rainbow one way or the other? As I was pondering today's preach, I've had that word in my head for a few weeks now. And sometimes you wonder, don't you, why some things just stick in your brain. And then it reminded me the Bible study that we had just before I went on holiday. Some of you will remember that a double rainbow appeared after our Bible study. Do you remember those that were there? Yeah, because a few of us got a bit wet because we shot out to take photos and it was still raining. But it didn't matter because it was wonderful, wasn't it? And it was a full one. You know, sometimes you get a bit of one, don't you? But no, we had a full one with a reflection. There's probably a technical phrase for that, but it doesn't matter. But, you know, that we wanted a picture or a photo, but we know technology actually isn't good enough to actually capture what you can see with your naked eye. And you look at photos sometimes, don't you, and you see they look different to what you've actually think you've just seen. I love the way that God breaks through in the most unexpected ways into the ordinariness of our everyday lives. Through his creation, we catch an extraordinary glimpse of his awesomeness and a reminder of his promises. I don't know many who are not moved to exclaim when a rainbow appears in the sky. In fact, it reminded me again of our dear friend Betty, who passed to glory on Wednesday. I remember being on the phone to her, and some of you know that she lived at the bottom of Highfield Way. I lived at the top. And we were gassing away, as we often did, and suddenly a rainbow appeared in the sky, because I was looking out the back door as I was chatting. And because I know that she looked out in the same direction from her flat, I said to her, "Can you see the rainbow?" And she said, "Yes." And so after several moments of oohs and ahs, you know, because it was a pretty good one, we then continued our conversation. And if, like the other week, it's a double or extraordinarily brilliant colour, the praise can be expressed for so much longer. I kind of think this morning's service almost or preached wrote itself while I was on holiday. I was blessed on my recent holiday to see rainbows nearly every day, starting from travelling down and then appearing over the amazing panoramic views that I had of the sea and the land. And then, even as I travelled back and was driving through Salisbury, a rainbow appeared, sort of arcing almost over the cathedral. It was a wonderful thing to be able to see. I know I was supposed to be driving, but you know, I was looking in front. But as I was walking, whilst on holiday, towards Thorncombe Beacon and across to, as it's aptly named, Doghouse Hill, several appeared over the duration of my climb. I was interested to read that in 2009, archaeologists working for the National Trust found evidence that Doghouse Hill was West Dorset's oldest human settlement, as they found stuff from the Mesolithic age, which I'm told is between 10,000 and 4,000 BC, and the Bronze Age, 2,500 to 1,000 BC. So I felt, as I was stood in the midst of those surroundings, that I literally was in the doghouse. There are various suggestions as to when the flood happened. But as we think about those periods, actually within that period, at some point, Noah's flood occurred on Earth. I always think, and I said to someone in the week, it's funny how I can't remember a name, but I can remember my Sunday school songs. Do you remember any from Sunday school that you were taught about rainbows? Yeah, sort of. Yeah, do you remember where that came?
Mr. Noah built an ark.
Did you build your ark? Yeah. Is that it? Who put the colours in the rainbow? That's the one I was waiting for, yeah. Who put the colours in the rainbow? And that was a lovely one telling us about creation. And then, yes, Mr. Noah built an ark. And it was when you see a rainbow, which you repeated three times, remember God is love. And as I say, can remember those pretty much all the way through. I was reading about rainbows, only did a little bit of research because I've not had a lot of time this week, surprisingly. But I read that rainbows contain a continuum of around 1 million colours that are indistinguishable with the human eye. Instead, we can only really see the 7 colour types of red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. I was going to ask you to name the rainbow. Then I didn't want you all singing at me, so I decided not to. And so, as I continue to ponder, where are rainbows mentioned in the Bible? And obviously, I immediately thought of the one that we've heard read earlier. Excuse me, Genesis 9, verse 13. As you know, I read from the English Standard Version, says, I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. During these readings, we're in the midst of the story of the great flood. God sets a rainbow in the sky as a covenant to the people then and to us now. It's an eternal, his promise to his children. We read throughout the Bible that the different covenants that God gave to his people have appropriate signs or symbols linked to them. And on this occasion, God designated sign is the rainbow. Its presence when rain clouds are in the sky will be a visible reminder of the, as he writes in verse 16, everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. He promised never again to destroy the earth by a flood. What an amazing symbol of God's gracious promise to each and every one of us. It's no wonder we gasp in awe, isn't it, when we see a rainbow, because it is so much part of our DNA. And in our lives, God did not promise that we will never experience storms, but he has promised that he will be with us during them. The rainbow was the sign of that promise, a reminder of God's commitment to the earth. And it also promises better times to come. We expect a rainbow to follow a storm as the sun starts shining through the storm clouds. I kind of feel almost shortchanged if I don't get one. I was blessed to see them in the distance on holiday when it had obviously rained on someone else. As they say, the sun shines on the righteous. A rainbow is designed to reassure us that God has remembered his promise when we see one. God made this promise, signified by the rainbow, not only to humankind, but we read to every living creature, the birds, the reptiles, the livestock, and all wild animals, all those that came out of the ark, every living creature on earth. Covenant is everlasting, enduring to all generations. Never again will there be a worldwide flood. And so as those flood waters recede, we see how God reestablishes his covenant relationship with humanity. And as we read the verses, as we looked at them, and as I read them as I was preparing, between verses 9 and 17, God mentions his covenant 3 times and his sign of the covenant 3 times. The first is a restoration of relationship, and the second, an everlasting dedication of that relationship. But as I explored further, as I'm prone to, and as my brain, that's the way it works, it wants to know stuff. There are three further rainbows in the Bible after the account in Genesis. Anyone got any ideas? No, nor would I, to be honest. So the second mention is in Ezekiel's vision. If you want to turn to it, it's on page 830. Ezekiel chapter 1, and in my version of the Bible, it's a passage headed The Glory of God. When Ezekiel sees his visions of God, we read in verse 28, like the appearance of the bow that is in a cloud on the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness all around. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Wow. That's what Ezekiel's actually seeing, what his vision is, what he's witnessing. The notes suggest to this verse that it's a comparison to the covenant rainbow of Genesis 9, but also that it could equally be because of the ominous message that then follows that word, those words, that it symbolizes the bow that is the Lord's weapon from the storm, which we read in the Psalms shoots arrows of lightning. The glory of the Lord is his manifested presence with his people. It's interesting to note that the Hebrew word that is used for rainbow or ark or arch is keshet, is also used to describe a war bow. And when we think of a bow that's used in conflict, we know that it needs, doesn't it, basically two things, the bow and its arrow. But without the arrow, it cannot serve as a weapon. The symbol of the rainbow, a bow without an arrow, is, as someone has suggested, a symbol of the mercy of God. The language used by God is meant to suggest that symbolic hanging up of a battle weapon after the war, and is a time for peace. In this vision of glory that Ezekiel is seeing, we too can imagine a picture of God's beauty and holiness. And then, of course, as my brain keeps working, I thought, well, there's got to be one in Revelation. I mean, if there's not one in Revelation, where else would you expect that? We know that Ezekiel was privileged to see a vision of God in heaven, and the brightness of God was seen as a rainbow. And yes, the rainbow is seen as part of the appearance, the manifestation of God in Revelation chapter 4 and 10. Oh, thank goodness for that. Page 1236, Revelation 4. And in this short but powerful chapter, John receives a vision of God on his throne, receiving ceaseless worship, and of the Lamb, Jesus, receiving from him a mysterious scroll. And so we read part of verse 1, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And in verse 3 goes on to say, and he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And if we've never heard of those, they're reddish brown, but here it would be described as bright red. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. I don't know about you, but my brain likes pictures, and I'm seeing all sorts at the moment. How spectacular that must have appeared. No wonder John was lost for words. The notes suggest that John imitates the descriptions used by both Isaiah and Ezekiel in what they were seeing of God's glory in the luminous colours. Again, avoiding that precise description of what our Almighty's visible features would have looked like, suggesting that he knew no language to describe what he saw. And as in other places, and I've often said in Revelation, don't interpret things individually. The jewels are not there to be interpreted individually, but together they signify the splendor and the majesty and the brilliance of the glory of God. And that's why we sang early, glorify his name in all the earth. The rainbow is a symbol of God's faithfulness and mercy. The rainbow around the throne is seen as a symbol of hope and the bright emblem of mercy and love. Even more truthful as a sign because it's reflected from the storm itself. The emerald rainbow around God's throne, his promise of eternal life guaranteed. And then as we jump to page 1240 to Revelation 10. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, wrapped in a cloud with a rainbow over his head, and his face was like the sun and his legs like pillars of fire. Like God on his throne, the angel with the scroll is surrounded by a rainbow. We need to reclaim God's rainbow. It symbolizes so many things, but when we give it back to God, it's a symbol of God's faithfulness and mercy, a symbol of God's common grace to all his people, a symbol of God's protection, of his salvation, a sign of hope. The rainbow is God's creation. We naturally delight in it. There is